You're listening to the Eastside Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. This sermon was recently preached at our church. We want to encourage you to visit our website at eastsidesf.com. Now, enjoy today's sermon.
Notice on our lesson sheet here this morning, looking at the top, we're in a brand new lesson today. I think this is lesson 5 or 6. We have several more, probably that many more to go, and just depends on how long each lesson goes. I really tried to take this next chapter in the book, and I tried to squeeze it all into one lesson, but I'll be honest with you, there's far too much material. It deserved a break, and so I'm not sure if today's lesson will be a little shorter or not because of that. I don't think anybody would be heartbroken if we dismissed a few minutes early today, but what I really do hope that you have the liberty, guys, and the freedom to be able to do is if God speaks to your heart somewhere along the way, or you have a comment that comes your way, or you think something would be helpful to be asked or shared, please feel free to raise your hand and do so, because really and truly, we're just a group of guys here trying to grow together in the Lord. We all have very similar issues in life that come our way, and I have a very strong confidence we probably struggle much the same way with things that come at us in this life, especially the way the world is acting today, and without going into a lot of detail. So again, we're on this, we're taking from the book Finally Free. It's a book on learning how to overcome the addiction of pornography. I tell you at the beginning of every lesson that while this is these are lessons on how to overcome this addiction, that the principles we're studying will help you in just about any addiction that you have. And most of us have some besetting sin that we work on a regular basis, that we're asking God to give us the grace to overcome and be strong in the Lord and so forth. So I hope you're not sitting here saying, man, I appreciate Pastor's heart about this, but this is not an issue in my life, and I'll just, you know, kind of put up with these lessons. But honestly, it'll help you in many areas of your life. If you don't struggle with this area, there are many men around you that do. Guys you're going to run into at work, family members, just friends, that you might just be amazed at how many men really have gone past the stage of where it's fun and exciting, and now they feel the grip around their own throat, and they know it's something that's got me. I don't have this. It's got me. And they're at that point where they're miserable. Maybe their marriages are failing because of it, and many marriages do, guys, fail because of that, and you could be a real help to them. I would recommend the book again. But if nothing else, you've got the lesson sheets. You've got an ability to sit down and review a lesson with them and go back and sit down with them and try to be a help to your friend or your family member. So I trust and pray it means something to you and you'll take it seriously. Title of the lesson today is Using Your Spouse, or somebody says, I'm not even married, Your Singleness to Fight Pornography. And it's going to take both lessons to tie those thoughts together, to give you a full understanding of what the title means. But today is just foundational, and it'll be a help to you in many ways. We've read, I believe, this chapter here before when we first got started, but we're going to read it again. Hold your place there in Proverbs. We'll come to it here in just a minute. But I want to make these opening comments. If you'll follow along with me, have you ever had something happen to you that was like a really bad memory, and it was something you really wanted to forget about, and you tried to forget about it, but it seemed like the more you tried to forget about it, the more it just kept popping up in your mind. There's things in my life I wish I didn't have to think about, things that I've given some testimonies in the past about parts of my life that I wish were not a part of my life, and they haunt me. I mean, literally, they haunt me. Those thoughts do, and I have found, just like the comment says here, sometimes some of those heavy things that you're trying to forget, The more you try to not think about it, the more it keeps coming back to you. And that's really true, and there's a reason for that. You'll follow along here. Sometimes the harder you work at forgetting it, the more it seems to get impressed upon our minds. I found that to be true. And our problem is, that second bullet there, we're focusing on the very thing we want to stop thinking about. Think about that. We're focusing on the very thing that I want to stop thinking about. Instead, we need to start thinking about something else, something different, obviously. If you're familiar with Philippians 4:8, whatsoever things are true, and that long list of things there, just, pure, and so forth, he ends that verse by saying, think on these things, as opposed to the things that can take a man down and memories of the past that you're embarrassed about, ashamed of, or whatever it might be. You need to get your heart and your mind refocused on something totally different, and that'll be a tremendous help. So consider this, next bullet. You can never stop thinking about something by trying not to think about it. If you want to get something out of your mind, you've got to begin thinking about something else. We've just said that, but the Bible tells us this is a vital principle for how we change. It's how you're going to change your thinking. And we've got to refocus our thinking away from the subject. If your problem is considering or always having these images of pornography, so we've got to refocus away from those thoughts and towards something that's holy or something that's godly or something that's pure in God's eyes. So God wants to change our thinking, not by having us focus on the things we're trying to quit thinking about, but by replacing old sinful thoughts with new righteous thoughts. And while that can mean a Bible verse that you've hid in your heart that you're like, oh my goodness, I can't stop thinking about this thing. I'll quote these Bible verses. That it can be Bible verses. Those are helpful. But also there's many things in life that God has just given to us, even physical things God has given to us that are of the Lord, and in that sense, they're righteous, good things for my life, things that I can just totally get refocused on. So, next bullet. So, what's all this have to do with the title of the chapter, using your spouse or your singleness to fight pornography? Again, the idea that you can and should use your spouse, or if you're single, using your singleness to fight pornography. And a key passage, guys, and it's where I have you opened up to here this morning, is there in Proverbs 5, very powerfully expresses this principle of, listen to the wording here, redirected thinking. That's what you're going to find happens in this chapter. And it calls you away from the impurity of sexual immorality and toward the purity of a sexual relationship with your spouse. We will look at the entire chapter in two sections, and that's how I'm going to divide up our lessons. Of next lesson I teach will be the other half of this. So you're there in Proverbs 5, right? If you get your Bibles open there. And I would like for us to follow along and read down through those first 14 verses, if you will. So if you'll follow along, then we'll read that last bullet there here in just a minute. Everybody there in Proverbs 5, would you please follow along? And notice this and see if you can find a progression here, guys. You really got to look for it, but God is very wisely progressing us in a direction. Now look in verse 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard, think about, discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. That's his goal there. That's where he wants to get us to. So he has to start where reality is, though, guys. And this is what he does. He realizes many of us are not at the place of discretion, and we're not keeping knowledge. So what does God do? God comes right down to the earth where we walk and tells you some things that he says, I know where you're at, but I want to lead you away from this place. So, verse 3, here's what a lot of men find themselves. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood. sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore. Listen to this direction, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Now, pause button there, and next lesson time we'll get into those last that last set of verses. But whether you could notice it or not, guys, God is in a progressive state here with what he's trying to get us to do. Look at the last bullet there in that first section up here, if you will. If you were looking for the word pornography, you're not going to find it in Proverbs 5, obviously. But the adulterous woman mentioned there can be taken to include any sexual immoral woman, whether she's encountered through pornography or in any situation in life. And guys, you and I both know, she comes at us from every direction. If you like to sit down and watch entertainment, if television or something on a screen that you can hold in your hand is your venue of entertainment, you know how dangerous that can be. And the watch care we have to give to that. She can approach you. Sometimes, guys, that woman approaches you at work. Sometimes you just see her walking up and down the streets right here in Old Sioux Falls, South Dakota. But she comes at us in many directions. The magazine racks as you're trying to pay for your groceries and all those kinds of things. But like it says, she can come at us in many different ways. But last sentence on that bullet, with this in mind, Proverbs 5 is one of the most honest statements about pornography that you're ever going to read. And I believe one of the greatest red flag warnings you're ever going to find in the Bible. While there are many other scriptures that say similar things, this is really so compacted in one statement. I think it's one of the greatest helps that we as men are going to find, all right? So notice this, moving on down to the next section. Notice the wording here. Going from just having a temptation to noticing that this thing is a threat. From temptation to threat, the forbidden woman. Let's walk through this a little bit. Proverbs 5 directs our attention in ways that, here's what I was trying to get you to know all along, in ways that keep our thoughts moving forward. He doesn't want to sit there in the cesspool of where he's described knowing what it's like for men in this life. God wants to move us forward and out of that place. King Solomon, who had lived a lust-fueled life himself, if you're familiar with him at all, the number of wives that he had and so forth, begins with an honest statement about the powerful temptations of the forbidden woman. Our text, the text says there in verse 3, will you go back there, chapter 5 and verse 3, notice again here, for the lips of a strange woman, strange meaning somebody that you do not have a marital relationship to, all right? For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. And let me just make a real quick comment. I worked at a place called Union Camp in Carlisle, Ohio, growing up. It was a paper factory. They made paper for school notebook paper and stuff like that. And I remember one of the guys coming up to me. He was married, and I was just a young man. I was a young teenager, 19. I believe I was 19 years old at the time, and I remember him coming up to me, and I could see he had been talking to some of the other guys there. They would laugh and chuckle, and he kind of walked up next to me, and he said, hey, Spence, you had any strange flesh lately? Well, I'd read this passage of Scripture, And I knew what he was talking about. And I said, "No, sir, I'm not married. And I don't plan on doing that either." He says, "You don't know what you're missing." And I thought to myself, "No, you don't know what you're about to miss if he only knew." I remember another gentleman at work, older gentleman, divorced and remarried 3 or 4 different times. And, you know, sometimes on break how conversations kind of go a little deeper. I remember the words this man has said all the way back to those same days. He said, "You know, I was married to a young lady and gave me her name. And he said, we were so young and we divorced and I remarried this woman. We divorced, I remarried this woman. And he says, I'm divorced now and I'm not married." But he looked me in the eyes. He was like 15, 20 years older than me. And he said, "I just wish I could be back with my first wife." He said, "Life was never so good as when I was with her. Our intimacy was real. It wasn't a fake. It was honest. And it wasn't that strange woman that he now, and his lifestyle was that kind of a man that ran around with strange women, was tearing his life apart." And in so many ways, that's what he was telling me. So the text said there in verse 3, and we read that, the Bible is honest in stating that there is an evil appeal about this woman who promises sexual pleasure without the commitment and investment of a marital relationship. So it's really clear there's this desire on her part to try to get into my life without, notice the wording, the commitment of a marital relationship. How many guys would be honest and say, "You know what, preacher, every week there's a lot of temptations out there. There's things that I run into. There's either people at work or, like you said, the billboards, or things come at me from every direction." Anybody else have those temptations through your week? Me and Keith Walk are the only ones. I've got an idea it's every one of us have those temptations that come at us. And we see those kinds of things. And this woman, whether it's on paper or on a digital format or in real live flesh, I've had many men, many strong Christian men, tell me the number of times women have tried to come on to them and how they've taken a stand. Jeff. Yeah. Today's society, that's the norm. And you're the weirdo. and yet, guys, that is the society we live in. I mean, what would you do if God called you to be a missionary, like Brother Ruckman, to Africa, and they don't wear clothing? I mean, that's what would you do? You've got to learn how to not make excuses for it, and I don't think that's what you were doing. But we have to realize who we are, too, and understand that those images, those people, are going to come at us all day long, and no doubt the rest of our life. So let me read that bullet again. The Bible is honest in stating that there's an evil appeal about this woman who promises, and the wording again, she promises sexual pleasure without the commitment and the investment of a marital relationship. Men that don't like to be responsible and they like irresponsibility, what do they call that? Footloose and fancy free, I think is the wording I've heard said before. They like that, and it's an easy out for them to get into pornography. Next bullet, Proverbs 5. Proverbs 5 doesn't stop there, however. The passage keeps our minds moving. And that's what I love about how this lesson teaches us this. Keeps our minds moving, showing us the temptations of this forbidden woman. Solomon goes on to unpack how dangerously threatening she is. And guys, if you're willing to open your hearts and listen today, you're going to learn something. It'll be a help to you as you read through this proverb. Or you can do what we do many times, just kind of yawn our way through a Sunday school lesson and get on out and wait for the service to be over with. But I'm telling you, Solomon has got a message for us here if we'll try to grasp it. Last bullet there, notice this. First, he tells us this woman is dangerous and that she's deadly. verse 4 there said, but her end, when you're all finished and done with this woman's attraction, her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Verse 5 takes it on a step further. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. You know what the problem is with a lot of guys who are irresponsible and don't want to take responsibility and don't want to hold on to the commitment and the investment of marriage? They don't realize it, how slippery that slope is that they are on and how quickly their life will degenerate so quickly down to the scum of the earth. Really, it does. So, finishing up after verse 5 there on that bullet. Through the words of Solomon, God shows us the appalling substance beneath the appealing surface. How nice and pretty this woman looks. And here's what Solomon does, guys. Look, it's really important. He takes this beautiful woman, her lips smooth as oil, like a honeycomb, and he peels away that veneer on the top. Says, let me show you what's underneath all that. If you'll take the time to be responsible and stop and think, I want to show you what the end really looks like. You that enjoy this so much, continually and continually going after that. So the last sentence there, your thinking stops at the tempting lips of honey, the speech smooth as oil, and guys, we fail to think about what's coming next. Now, every man, if we can look up here, let me just make some real transparent statements. Every one of us have had moments of strong, lustful temptations. I don't think there's a man in here that haven't gone through a time where it was hard, and you felt this strong draw on you, and the appeal was so appealing. And during those times when you're just wanting so badly to give in to whatever the temptation is, our minds don't naturally just stop and think, yeah, but you know what? If I do that, then man, things are going to really be tough, and it's going to destroy my relationship with my wife, my relationship with God, and those are not things that come naturally. But listen to me, the Bible is very clear that there is a still, small voice that will not demand his way into your life, but he will share with you and give you a nudge in your heart sharp enough that you know this is not right. And there is when you need to realize God's trying to peel away the surface of the beauty of what you're looking at and realize the stench that's underneath all of this. That's what Solomon's trying to do, is to open our eyes up and stop being so led by your hormones and testosterone that gets all stirred up in a man's mind. You almost get drunk with that. But it's not an excuse. God will lead you away from that if you'll listen to that little voice on the inside. So here's what he's trying to say. Top of the back page. Have you flipped it over yet? God wants to move your thinking forward to what follows the perverse sweetness of temptation. The very next verse reveals the painful death behind the misleading mask. The truth about the forbidden woman of porn is that she is not as sweet and smooth as she first appears. She's bitter and sharp, and those who follow her are led to a place of death. Sin, when it is finished, guys, what does it do? It brings forth death, James says. So the sinful logic of porn, listen to this, I love this statement. The sinful logic of porn only works if you don't think about it very hard. You know, just shove that conviction. I know what my mom and dad, I know what my wife, I know what the preacher said, but you just quickly shove that out of your mind. I don't want to think about this really hard, because if I think about it really hard, I get convicted. And I begin to see there's something else beyond this. And we just want to live out our pleasure. That's the way the flesh is. But men of God have to stand up and recognize there really is something underneath the surface I've got to stop and think about. Look at the next bullet. God also makes it clear that the forbidden woman herself is deceived. This is a heartbreaking statement. Look in verses 5 and 6. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. Well, yeah, that was a warning to the man without doubt. Has anybody ever stopped and considered what that woman is going to face as well? That if I take my pleasure from her and I never take a step, and I realize in pornography you're never going to be able to have an impact in that woman's life. She's hundreds of miles away from you somewhere in some studio and goes home at night, probably gets beat up by some drug addict at home. That's just the way her life usually is. And she's somewhere miles and miles away if she's pornography and on a screen. But if you are playing around and just kind of teetering with a relationship with some other woman that you know good and well, that you're stepping into territory that we ought not to be, have you ever stopped to consider what her end will be as well? Men who will go into I don't even know what they're called anymore. Clubs. Men's clubs. Pay money to walk in to a men's club. And will get pleasure from watching a woman. Have you ever stopped and consider what will happen to that woman when it's all done and over with in her life? Her feet, the Bible says, is taking hold on hell. And what this next bullet really is all about, and I, without me reading through all of that, if I could just say this, men need to develop a conviction of heart and understand we need to have compassion for those people. We need to have a burden for those people and what they're going through and possibly be able to reach them for Christ, bring them to a place where they can know the Lord as well. That's convicting. Can I add another? So we got 1, 2, 3, 4, five more bullets, and I want to just take time for this. Hey, guys. Look up here and listen to me. Is there any other men in here that have daughters? I don't see your hand. Any other men have daughters? I think most of us have either cousins, young ladies, maybe a sister, for sure a mom. You know what got me so strongly one time as a young man? I'm a young husband. I'm driving along and a young lady was walking down the street and she was pretty. And probably not dressed like she should have been. And I remember me taking an extra glance at her. And something said to my heart, about the same age as your own daughter. And a sword went through my heart and convicted me so strongly. Would you want some other man's eyes running all over your daughter's body? Of course you would not. And why are we willing to do that to somebody else's? Think about that. Somebody needs to understand there's two sides of this story and it's not just you. And let those thoughts sink in. I mean, that is a tremendous deterrence for me as to realize I have a daughter too. This is not right. More than anything, I have a Savior that died to make me free from all this. But I also have a daughter. I have some sisters. So, look at the third bullet. Solomon points to truth about the adulterous woman, but he also reveals truth about the consequences of sexual sin. God shows us that when a man goes near the forbidden woman, he faces horrible consequences. Guys, here they are in three different areas. Number one, when you do that, you're giving your honor and your years to the merciless. I mean, you're giving what the best part of your life up to some stranger, and it's destroying your life. Number two, he gives his strength and labors to strangers. And number three, and his flesh and body are consumed. To put it simply, pornography destroys your time, your strength, and ultimately your body. I went to church at the Franklin Baptist Church, Franklin, Ohio. Two of my good older friends was Donnie Prince and Bernard. You might call him Bernard, but it was Bernard. And Bernard, Donnie got Bernard to come into church, and for a year or two, Bernard and his wife were really faithful serving in the church. And then as time went on, I noticed Bernard wasn't as faithful to church. It was just his wife. And then after a while, she disappeared. And I remember going to Donnie and I said, Donnie, what happened to Bernard? He said, Philip, it's a really sad story. Now, back in my day, there was, and maybe there still is, he got involved in what was called phone sex. I don't even understand how it works, praise the Lord, but your mind can easily wander, and don't let it. And I said, what happened to him? I didn't know about it. I didn't know what in the world he's talking about. And without trying to give me too much detail, he let me know. He had bankrupted their family. Back in that day, hundreds and then up into the thousands of dollars that he was spending on phone bills. They lost their home. He ended up losing his marriage. He was so addicted to this, he stopped taking care of himself physically. And what we just read about, how this addiction and this pornography will take a man all the way down to the point of death. Lost his strength and his honor and his marriage and all those things. Everything Solomon was trying to get us to understand today, it was so true of Bernard. Broke my heart for him. But it's true of thousands of men in the world yet today. And God help us that it would never make its way into the church and into the Christian homes. So, next bullet, in his word, God is warning you to stay away from the forbidden woman because of the devastating consequences that she brings. Though the initial stages of temptation, they seem innocent, I'm sure Bernard thought that, they seem fun and even enjoyable, eventually the sin of indulging in the adulterous woman of porn will take your life and consume your time and your strength and your body. Is exactly what happened to Bernard. When you turn to her, you lose the freedom and the opportunity to determine the consequences. Once you've turned to her, your consequences are set. That's the warning God gives to us in His Word. Even though you may not see the death and destruction that pornography brings today, they are certain to come, guys. They will. The worst kinds of penalties are those that are stored up over the longest time. And just because you aren't experiencing them now doesn't mean that they are not coming. Everybody listening right now? Just because you're getting by with it now, just because something has been working in your life, maybe for years, and nothing's happened so far, and you've lost your fear of it all, doesn't mean that it's still not coming. While the wheels of justice do turn slowly, they do turn surely, and one day they will come home to you. That's what he's trying to get us to understand. Next to the last bullet, so let's understand. In these first 14 verses of Proverbs 5, God is opening our eyes to see beyond the surface, to look deeper at consequences, and to stop being so easily led astray by the outward appeal to the flesh. Hey, how many of you guys have ever gone to the store for milk and eggs? Bread, milk, and eggs. And when you go up to the counter and you go to pay for everything, what does the lady at the counter do when she gets to the eggs? Today, every time I go, she'll lift the lid of the eggs and look inside and then cover it back up. Because everything can look really nice and clean on the outside, but several times over the years when she's lifted that lid, she's found an egg that's been bust open and it's spread all over and all the other eggs are stuck to it. And what was on the outside looked so good until she peeled it open and showed us what was on the inside. That's exactly what Jesus wants to do for us. It's what Solomon is trying to say to his son here today. Hey, son, listen, I know this woman looks beautiful on the outside, and I know she's really enticing, but can I just open the lid? Can I open the carton up? And I want to show you what's on the inside and what's left to come. And like the last bullet says there, there's a better way, and next week we're going to go cover that lesson, that better way. Trust and pray you'll be faithful to the class. I think it can be a real help to us. Solomon was speaking to us like he was talking to a son. My son. So hopefully we'll take notice of that. Any more comments before we pray and dismiss? All right, let's stand together. All right, let's have a word of prayer. And thank you, Father, for your blessing to us today. I pray that you'll help us, God, to take a stand for these things of God and to not be led astray. I pray, God, you'll help us to look beyond the surface. And remember what you've taught us here this morning through Solomon, that there's a wicked end to a life of pleasure without godly commitment. So give us your blessing as we're dismissed. Bless the hour to come. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.
We want to encourage you to visit our website at eastsidesf.com.